You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Pop a top again. I've just got time for one more round. Set 'em up, my friend. Then I'll be gone and you can let some other fool sit down. I'd like for you to listen to a joke I heard today from a woman who said she was through and calmly walked away. I tried to smile and did a while, but it felt so out of place. Did you ever hear of a clown with teardrops streaming down his face? Pop a top again. I think I'll have another round. Set 'em up, my friend. Then I'll be gone and you can let some other sit down.
Alan Jackson, singing about 5 o'clock. Check a few news headlines here. I think most people heard this story when it happened, but a little bit of a row when a Saturday Night Live cast member mocked Dan Crenshaw, former, I think he was a SEAL who had lost an eye in Afghanistan. I haven't watched this yet, so I don't. This is evidently what transpired on Saturday Night Live last whenever the hell Saturday Night Live's on. Alright, so here it is. I don't really want to watch this.
Well, last week, Pete Davidson did a feature here on Weekend Update that caused some controversy. Here to set the record straight is Pete Davidson.
Now, let me, I know he's a comedian, but what I hope doesn't happen is, I hope what I'm about to watch is not him coming on and making a joke. I hope he's straight up serious about what he did. And how shitty it was.
And what I'm sure was a huge shock for people who know me, I made a poor choice last week. I did. I made a joke about Lieutenant Commander Dan Crenshaw. Dan Crenshaw. And on behalf of the show and myself, I apologize. My poor mom. Can you imagine being my mom? That must suck. Can you imagine being Pete Davidson's mom? It can't be easy when everyone's mad at your son and roommate. No, but I mean this from the bottom of my heart. It was a poor choice of words. The man is a war hero, and he deserves all the respect in the world. And if any good came of this, maybe it was that for one day, the left and the right finally came together to agree on something. That I'm a dick.
You think?
So without with that, LT dot space COM Dan Crenshaw, congressman elect. You know, you would think, could you at least look it up, his rank on the internet? and see what Lieutenant Commander looks like? Yeah, no shit. LT.com/COM. Lieutenant Com.
Lieutenant Commander Dan Crenshaw, everyone. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, he rolled in on a chair. He rolled in from stage left to behind the desk.
Thanks for making a Republican look good.
You gotta stop saying that, man. You've been saying it all day. Please, look, I just wanted to say, for people that don't know, the reason you're wearing an eye patch right now is that you lost your eye to an IED in Afghanistan during your third combat tour. And I'm sorry.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate you saying that.
So are we good?
We're good. Apology accepted.
Just keep breathing.
I don't know what that song is about.
You're going to answer that?
No, and I'm just going to let it ring because that's rude to answer. Let's just let it go to voice count.
No, it's cool. Ariana Grande.
Well, cool, man. Yeah. But, oh, do you know her?
All right, so that's funny.
Oh, was that his, like, girlfriend or something? She dumped him?
All right. So, last week, I made a joke about a picture of you, and I feel like it would only be fair if you got me back and made fun of a picture of me. Does that sound okay?
I don't really need to do that.
No, come on. I deserve it.
All right, I'll do it.
Please?
One.
All right.
And now, first impressions with Lieutenant Commander Dan Crenshaw.
Thanks, Colin. This is Pete Davidson. He looks like if the meth from Breaking Bad was a person.
Not bad. So there, we're even. All right.
Hold on, one more. This is good.
All right.
He looks like a troll doll with a tapeworm.
Yeah, man. All right, that's good. We should wrap this up.
Oh, hold on. No, this is fun. This is fun.
Cool.
He looks like Martin Short in the Santa Claus story. By the way, one of these people was actually good on SNL.
No, you're right. You're not wrong.
Okay, but seriously, there's a lot of lessons to learn here. Not just that the left and right can still agree on some things, but also this, Americans can forgive one another. We can remember what brings us together as a country and still see the good in each other. This is Veterans Day weekend, which means that it's a good time for every American to connect with a veteran. Maybe say thanks for your service. But I would actually encourage you to say something else. Tell a veteran, never forget. When you say never forget to a veteran, you are implying that, as an American, you are in it with them, not separated by some imaginary barrier between civilians and veterans, but connected together as grateful fellow Americans. We'll never forget the sacrifices made by veterans past and present, and never forget those we lost on 9/11, heroes like Pete's father. So I'll just say, Pete, never forget.
Never forget. And that is for both of us.
Commander Dan Crenshaw and Pete Davidson. We get up there on Colin Jones.
I'm Michael Chuckin.
That was better than I thought it was going to be. So, yeah, that was, I don't know, you know, disrespect. It's one of the things I spoke about at the luncheon in Mankato after I talked about veterans, and veterans need to do more and challenging them to do more in a culture that needs us and in communities that need us. And then I talked about respect, and that it is I think it's painfully obvious to all of us that our country has lost something. And it's up to, we've lived a life of respect. We join squad bays all over the nation when we go to boot camp. And every race is in there. Every creed is in there. Every color is in there. And, you know, you learn how to live and respect people. And so we should be leaders in an intolerance for disrespect. Whether it's in speech, and I'm serious with Alex Hollings about just turn it off. Turn off the 24/7 news cycle till they give us something that's worth watching. Something like the McNeil Lear News Hour. Something like Tim Russert would produce. All right, not the shit that we see. So, anyway, Dan Crenshaw, awesome stuff there, especially at the end. The old demons. So, Emmanuel Macron, right? The old demons. So, if you were to demonize or point out countries that would be responsible or would be at the forefront of world destabilization, who would that be? The United States? So Emmanuel Macron he's a jackass. You know, the whole notion of globalism, I think, is a fool's errand. Where nations have common interest, and they will if they're free, towards free trade, towards economic respect, towards intellectual property respect, towards the advancement of people, to me, they naturally go together. And I don't, again, he's a failing politician. And to say that nationalism, right, as it exists today, is anything close to what was in the fabric of Europe at the start of World War II is historically ridiculous. So, anywho. Yeah, and so, to me, the other thing that was bothersome about it was that the media just regurgitated it. Right? The media just regurgitated. All right, top five stories in early bird this morning. Now, this is something I've talked about. Kind of a good story, because I love the uniform. It's official. Army approves pink and green uniforms on Veterans Day. And there's a picture of two soldiers standing in what are World War II uniforms. The Army announced on Veterans Day that they will adopt throwback service uniforms as early as 2020. The Army was able to straighten out its congressionally mandated notification requirements in time to announce on Sunday, Veterans Day, that the much-anticipated Army greens will indeed be your next service uniform. Formerly known as pink and greens, the World War II-era officer's uniform could go Army-wide as soon as 2020, according to the release that was posted on Sunday to the Army's website, but not shared through any of its social media channels. The current Army Blues uniform will return to being a formal dress uniform, while the Army Greens will become the everyday business wear uniform for all soldiers, the release said. The new uniform will be cost neutral, according to the Army, though details of the budgeting plan were not immediately available. Sergeant Major of the Army, Dan Daly, told Army Times, I know, that kills me when I see that, told the Army Times in September that while higher quality materials translated to a dollar-for-dollar more expensive uniform, the fielding plan would negate some of the extra costs associated with the change. And then the picture is again, it's a good-looking uniform. It's gabardine slacks, dark green jacket, and then in this picture, they're wearing a waist belt. The tyranny of the waist belt. The Army's going back to it. I think that's good. Congratulations. It's an awesome looking uniform. If you saw World War II Army, you know, pink and green uniforms, they look great. And so I think it's very cool. Number two, Finland to probe reports of Russia disrupting GPS during its NATO drill. Finland's GPS signal was disrupted during NATO's recent military drills in Russia may have been the culprit, according to Finland's prime minister. The apparent jamming also affected air traffic in Norway. So I wonder if Emmanuel Macron had anything to say about that. Was that Donald Trump's fault? Was that America's fault? Was that the fault of nationalism? Probably not. U.S. Army warns of crippling sea lift shortfalls during wartime. The U.S. Army is pushing Congress to act on a looming sea lift shortfall that will create unacceptable risk and force projection within the next 5 years if the Navy doesn't act quickly, according to a document from the Army's G4 logistics shop obtained by Defense News. You know, this has been brewing for a long time. The Navy has all kinds of other spending priorities, amphibious shipping, and strategic sea lift is not part of what they want to spend their money on. And so so it's now reaching a critical point that it's got the Army's attention. Number four, senators seek answers for military families living in decrepit housing with mice and mold infection. This appears in Marine Corps Times today. And there's a picture of housing at Dover Air Force Base, Delaware. Two California senators have sent letters to Defense Secretary Jim Mattis seeking answers following a blockbuster investigation by Reuters detailing substandard living conditions in military base housing. The letter was addressed to Tim Burns, CEO of Lincoln Military Housing. According to Reuters, Lincoln controls much of base housing on Camp Pendleton, California, one of the bases mentioned in the story dealing with mice and mold infestations. And you can't do anything to those houses when you live on base, just so you know. Right? Lincoln, it's like homeowners association from hell. I was just in Quantico, and a friend of my son said he put up a Dodger flag in front of his house. You know, the blue, white, L.A. Gets a letter from Lincoln Housing, take it down. He said, screw off, I'm not taking it down. And then they quoted, you're not allowed to fly anything other than this outside your home. Like, really? So that's the extent to Lincoln is involved in its homeowners association from hell. California Senators Dianne Feinstein and Kamala Harris said in the letter they were deeply concerned and disappointed about recent reports of unsuitable housing conditions at Camp Pendleton. In an interview with more than 100 military families, Reuters detailed decrepit living conditions and mold, mice, and cockroach infestations in base housing. Lincoln Military Housing told Marine Corps Times that mold issues make up less than 1% of requests it received in 2017. Most complaints were resolved to everyone's satisfaction, the company said, noting that mold, mildew, and water intrusion problems are handled as emergency requests. Lincoln added that the homes mentioned in the Reuters story were a tiny fraction of 37,000 homes that it manages. I will tell you this. At Camp Pendleton, you know, base housing is practically all brand new based on the money that was injected into the DOD during the wars. It is honestly, it's phenomenal. You look at the housing that exists now on Marine Corps bases around the Marine Corps. My son and daughter-in-law live in a 1, 2, 3-bedroom, 2-story, beautiful home in Quantico. Yeah, I mean, the quality of life, awesome. So I hope that Lincoln's held accountable. The other thing I hope is that, you know, the Reuters stories, who did they talk to? You know, did they talk to enough people to paint an accurate picture? Or did they cherry pick to get a headline? Now, Reuters normally doesn't do that. So if they did, it would surprise me. U.S. stops refueling Saudi-led coalition aircraft in Yemen war. The United States is halting refueling of aircraft from the Saudi-led coalition engaged in Yemen, the United States, and Saudi Arabia has said, ending one of the most divisive aspects of U.S. assistance to the Saudi war effort. Saudi Arabia, in a statement released by its embassy in Washington, said it has decided to request an end to U.S. aerial refueling for its operations in Yemen because it could now handle that by itself. U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis backed the decision, said the U.S. government was consulted. Now, again, obviously all this comes on the backdrop of the murder of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi, and so increased attention on everything that has to do with Saudi Arabia. Taliban post photos of MQ-6 Reaper they claim to have shot down. U.S. says it simply crashed. Nothing on the Reaper is of any value to them. We had one crash. We went out and found it. They used the wings to bridge a river, and they put the camera and communications pods down in a well so that they could sell them, and we took it back. But in the process of going to look for it, you know, we asked, hey, how much effort do you want us to expend to find this? And they said, expend the usual effort. We would like to have it back, but if we don't get it back, there's, other than knowing what kind of camera we have, which they could go online and probably find out, none of that stuff is of any use to them. There's nothing classified on the platform itself. So we were like, oh, okay. And then we found it. Some Lance Corporal smoking a cigarette, like, figured out where they had probably taken it. This is amazing. U.S. pushes back at China's warning to avoid islands it claims that they own in the South China Sea. China bluntly told the United States to stop sending ships and military aircraft close to islands claimed by Beijing in the South China Sea during talks on Friday that set the stage for a meeting between Donald Trump and President Xi later this month. The U.S. pushed back, insisting it will continue to fly, sell, and operate wherever international law allows. The Chinese say, we don't give a shit about international law. Do as we say. Or else what? You're going to slap tariffs on our shit? Go screw yourself. Yeah, China, the world the way we want it to be. The world the way we will dictate it, and everybody else can adjust. Interesting. That'll do it on Monday. Happy Marine Corps birthday to everybody out there. Happy Veterans Day to everybody out there. Hope you had a good weekend. My thanks to Alex Hollings for coming on. Always interesting. If you're just joining us, had an awesome weekend in Mankato and the Twin Cities doing All Marine Radio stuff. So don't touch that dial. You hear a little bit about that. You also hear about my grandfather, a little bit of a tribute to him. John, no middle initial, McNamara, came to this country in 1914, was on a ship headed back to Europe in 1917 as a member of Company D, 1st Engineer Battalion, Combat Engineer Battalion, that would support the 1st Infantry Division as part of the American Expeditionary Force of World War II. Participated in every major campaign that the 1st Infantry Division, the Big Red One, participated in. So my cousin Joe, son of my uncle Muggs, has sent me his discharge document. So I went through it last night and typed stuff that was written in it. And my grandfather rose to the rank of corporal, was discharged in 1919, after he came back from being part of the Army of Occupation in Germany, and was mustered out of the Army. Given a check for, I want to say, $124.90. No shit, man. Wounded twice. Got out as a corporal. Paid in full. On September 29th, 1919. $125.91 in his pocket. Yeah. Carrying heavy on his way home to Sacramento, California when he left the Presidio, which is in San Francisco. So you'll hear about that too. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. on a Monday. All Marine Radio. Back from Mankato. Over and...